way. Huberto walks in, makes a move, and he scores! Jonathan Huberto! And he scores! Alexander Barkov! What a move! He's giving the Panthers the lead once again!
Welcome to Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers. Here are your hosts, Jamison Olive and Doug Plakins.
Hey everybody, welcome to Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers, presented as always by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. Doug Plakins, Jamison Olive here with you. An exciting program coming up. We are going to get into our featured conversation here in just a couple of moments as we kick off. This is really the first look ahead to the NHL draft here on Territory Talk. So we're going to start talking a little bit of draft. And, well, who better to start that off with than Shane Malloy from Hockey Prospect Radio. You can hear him on SiriusXM. He has a book called The Art of Scouting. He does the player ratings for the EA Sports NHL game franchise. So this is a guy who deals in player evaluation every single day, and we're going to get a chance to talk to him about the NHL draft in just a few moments. But, Jamison, how are you? What's going on over there? We got the draft coming up on the 23rd and 24th of this month, so fun to start looking ahead.
Yeah, love the draft. You know, one of my favorite times of the year, but very different this year. This is the least knowledgeable I've ever been going into a draft, and obviously we're going to change that over the next couple weeks. We're really going to dive in and dig in, but even then, it's all just a lot of reading. There's not a lot of visuals, because most of these guys that did get to play this year, you know, they only played, you know, 20, 30 games really on the high end, and, you know, going back to last season, they really didn't play, you know, much of anything for the most part. Didn't have a lot of big tournaments. A couple, you know, you had a bit at the World Juniors, but for the most part, a lot of these guys are question marks, and that's a little exciting, but at the same time, it makes you a little nervous. You don't know where you're getting in some of these kids. So we get into that with Shane, of course, and we get into a lot with Shane. It's a great conversation, but personally, doing pretty good. You know, went up to Pittsburgh for the weekend for the 4th. I love Pittsburgh.
Great city.
My fiance is from Pittsburgh, so we go up there. I've been up there probably 6-7 times now, and it's a very unique sports city. Obviously, with all the teams so close, and everyone in that city just, you know, bleeding, you know, black and yellow wherever they go for all the teams. Very unique, and it's one of the few places you can go and you can see like just a random kid on the street wearing like a Malkin jersey, and you see a random 100-year-old grandma wheeling down downtown, and she's got on a Sidney Crosby jersey. It's just like it's amazing how just intertwined sports are in Pittsburgh. It's a very unique sports city. I always like going.
Always love Pittsburgh. Never had a bad time in Pittsburgh.
No.
Always enjoy myself.
Pittsburgh. A lot of breweries have popped up in Pittsburgh, to no one's surprise. So there was a lot of good places to grab a drink. Went to a Buccos game. Pirates are terrible, but it was a great time.
PNC Park.
One of the best parks in the world.
Yeah.
Weather was nice. It was a great place, some good fireworks. So I'm a big fan of Pittsburgh. Don't like the Penguins, but I like Pittsburgh.
I'll always be up for a trip to Pittsburgh. Always a great place to go. Been there for a number of different reasons over the years, and used to be just when I lived in Cleveland, it was just a short drive, about 2 hours down the road or so over to Pittsburgh. But always great. Glad you had a good time. You had a good trip up there to Pittsburgh, and we had a good conversation with Shane Malloy, again, covering all angles of the upcoming NHL draft. And by the way, for the folks out there wondering, July 23rd, July 24th, that is a Friday and a Saturday. That's when the NHL draft is going to take place. And we will have information coming up in the coming weeks for how you can consume, how you can stay up to the minute with everything going on as far as the NHL draft is concerned, especially from the Panthers angle. We'll have all that information as we always do. So keep checking FloridaPanthers.com, at FLA Panthers on Twitter, all the places that you stay tuned in with every single day. We're going to make sure that you have the knowledge you need going into the NHL draft. So that is coming up. Territory Talk is always presented by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. And, well, without further ado, this is a really interesting conversation. So you want to stay locked into it. We cover a lot of different things. Shane Malloy, Hockey Prospect Radio. You can hear him on SiriusXM. Has a book called The Art of Scouting. He does the player ratings for EA Sports NHL for the game franchise.
And we get into that.
And we do get into that. So you want to stay tuned in here. Shane Malloy, kind enough to join us on this week's edition of Territory Talk. Well, Shane Malloy here with us on Territory Talk. And Shane, first of all, want to say thanks very much for stopping by. I know especially this time of the year, as the NHL draft gets closer and closer, this is really the busy season for you right now. And with the draft coming up pretty soon here, this is the start of our draft look ahead here on Territory Talk. Just wanted to ask you your feel on this draft. You oftentimes hear when people talk about drafts, this one's top heavy, or this one's deep, or this one's got a ton of forwards or a ton of defensemen. When you look at this 2021 edition of the NHL draft, what do you see?
Well, first off, thank you very much for having me on. It's my pleasure. To answer the first question, I think it's going to be more difficult to assess only because the sample size of players has been less in previous years. So there is a certain level of uncertainty when you're doing these type of assessments. If I have to do a calculation, I think it's going to be an average draft in terms of the number of players that play more than 200 games in the NHL, which historically in the salary cap era from 06 and to now is 56 players. 56 players will play more than 200 games. Another 18 on average will get a cup of coffee between 50 and 150 games. So that's general in terms of depth. Then the quality of the players, I think, is a little bit more of an unknown factor. Once again, as I go back to the number of games players have played, and there's a certain level of uncertainty because the sample size is a little bit smaller. So there's going to be, the NHL teams are going to have to dig a little bit deeper in terms of more video work, background of players, and really dial into what their physical and mental attributes are. So to be able to add that, and maybe you end up having to weight those a little bit differently than you would in the past.
And Shane, going off a little bit of what you just said there, obviously you mentioned the uncertainty, and there's maybe more of that going into this one in terms of the scouting and the evaluation and how much scouting departments have had a chance to see players. Probably less of that than there's been in really any previous draft. In talking to people and in your own evaluations, what's the sense you've gotten for how teams are going about getting a look at players? Again, because the sample size of what you've been able to see just hasn't been as much as it's been in the past.
Well, certainly the use of video is going to be far more prominent. And I think at the end of the day, this year is going to be an interesting case study 5 and 10 years from now. I've seen what the results were and what were the impacts. And, you know, you look at it from this perspective, I think the teams that are most effective at using video. So how you use video and how that tool is used, because you could simply just click on a game and watch a full game. I don't think that's an effective way to use video because there's just too many missing parts. I prefer, and I use Instat. I think they're a fantastic company that provides analytics, but they provide all the video. Is it breaks down all these individual areas of a player's game, so you can watch them all the way through to say 20 or 25 games. You know, say for example this year, so you get an understanding of what they do in that circumstance. And I like looking at pinpointing certain areas. Then, you know, I go back and see a macro view, and I go back to a micro view. So you have to sort of pull that lens in and out. I think that's going to be the biggest difference. The teams that have effectively used video are going to be the ones that are going to be able to find the players, or just what they're going to do is mitigate their risk more effectively at the end of the day. And I think I'm really curious to see how this plays out.
And Shane, obviously this is a Panthers podcast. We're going to talk a little bit more about where the Panthers are in the early 20s, but it seems like you can't go into a draft without talking about the guy at the top every year, no matter where you're picking. And this year it looks like everything I'm reading, it's going to be Owen Power. He should go number one overall based on all the mock drafts that I'm seeing, all the rumors you're hearing, things like that. How does he maybe stack up based on the information you have against, you know, defensemen taken overall in years past?
Well, if you look at his overall game, and I don't like using player comparables because I just don't think they're entirely fair, but look at in terms of a playing style and the output. So you're looking at the floor and the ceiling of a player. And I tend to sort of gravitate towards Eric Johnson, who was drafted by St. Louis first overall, now in Colorado. And it's that type of player, big, lanky, good mobility, good hockey sense overall, can move the puck. Is he is Owen Power a dynamic player? No, I probably wouldn't put him in that category, but highly effective and can play in a lot of different situations. And you can ask any coaching staff if they can get a defenseman who has that versatility to play anywhere in any situation, they gladly have him. But I don't think it's a fait accompli for Owen Power to be first overall. I think William Eklund has a legitimate opportunity to be the first overall pick. He's the one player that I would say from my viewings is that he has the greatest upside, the highest ceiling in terms of skill set and potential offensive production is William Eklund. And he has the ability to play center, although he's a winger. And, you know, we've talked to him about that ability to play center and he's done it. He said, I would just require more reps and I'm more than happy to do it because I'm a playmaker, but it's just not an area that he has a lot of reps in. So I think there's some potential there. And if you can get a guy who can, you know, maybe at the NHL level plays on the wing, but provides greater versatility and value for NHL teams moving forward.
And now kind of moving it, you know, down the draft board a bit. I don't know. We don't know how early you are in your draft prep, but if you've gotten to start to look at those guys that might be there in the early 20s, are there any names maybe Panthers fans should keep an eye on as a guy that maybe could fall there to the Cats?
Well, one of the things before I get into the players that I think is really interesting is if you look at the three teams that are going to be drafting before Florida, Detroit, Columbus, Minnesota have multiple picks in the first round. And what ends up happening when teams have multiple picks in the first round is they're willing to take that home run swing, right? One of their players will end up being more of a higher floor and less risk, and then they're willing to take some risk because they have that extra pick. So I'm interested to see what happens with Detroit, Columbus, Minnesota, and do they take the safer player up high and then swing for the fences low, or do they swing for the fences up high and then that second pick right before where Florida picks, do they – you know, take a player that's more, has a higher floor, a chance of getting the NHL, maybe doesn't have that upside, the high upside, but is more, you know, they feel more comfortable. He has a higher percentage chance of playing 200 games. So what that potentially could do for Florida is there could be extra value there. Anytime, if you're the first team drafting after a couple teams or one team that has a multiple pick, there's always an opportunity there. So that I'm curious to see how this plays out for Florida if they're picking in that, you know, that 26 range. So in number of players, depends what direction they go in, best player available, of course. You know, they have a lot of forwards in their system. They don't have a lot of D. So if everything being equal, D would probably be preferable. But so we'll start with D in that area. So you're sort of looking at, you know, is, you know, Artyom Grushnikov, a defenseman out of Hamilton, Ontario Hockey League, but in Russia, 6'2", 200-pound left-shooting D-man. Is he a possibility there? Is Logan Mailloux, a defenseman who played with the London Knights but had, see with this year, had to play overseas, 6'3", right-handed shot, over 200 pounds. So you look, you know, Daniil Chayka, another Russian as well, 6'3", you know, 190 pounds, left shot. Shai Baum played for the Sioux City in the USHL, is going to go to college. That's another defenseman. And one of the things, other than Logan Mailloux, of the defensemen I talked about, their European defenseman, or is in a Shai case, he's going to go to college. And the advantage of having a defenseman like that is it's a longer runway for player development. And I think the greatest asset you can give your general manager is time. And when you give a general manager time, especially in player development, allows them to, you know, make better decisions and there's less pressure. So we have a European defenseman who played an extra year in the pro league over there before coming into the American League, or a defenseman who goes into the college route, gets that extra year, maybe 2 years, and then comes into the American League instead of throwing him to, you know, deep end of the pool with an anchor as a 20-year-old American League. And that's tough. That's a tough league. You can get them in at maybe 21 or 22, particularly because you're picking at the end of the first round. There's no rush to get them through. So, you know, in terms of defensemen, those are defensemen that could be in that area. I look at perhaps Oscar Olsson, a Swedish winger. That's a possibility there. Tyler Boucher, I think he's at the U.S. National Development Program. He's going to go into college. That's an opportunity there. Maybe Francisco Pinelli, center at the Kitchener Rangers in Ontario Hockey League. So there's some really interesting options, I think, for Florida. But I really, the biggest curiosity for me and where they can find value is what Detroit, Columbus, and Minnesota do right in front of them. And if those teams start swinging for the fences, maybe they don't take a player that should have been drafted 4 or 5 or 6 spots higher, and Florida walks away with a really good player that they're extremely happy with.
Shane Malloy here, and some just great points made right there about the teams leading up to the Panthers and what the Panthers could potentially look at. And Shane, wanted to ask you a question about the last draft. Of course, the Panthers came away very happy with Anton Lundell in the first round, and you talk about maybe the chances of a value pick falling to the Panthers in this year's draft. And last year, it seemed like Anton Lundell kind of slipped into the Panthers' laps there, and he was a guy that drew tons of praise immediately after the selection. Bill Zito got tons of praise for the pick, and here we are now looking ahead to next season, and Lundell has signed his contract, and again, still everybody with tons of great things to say about him. When you look at Anton Lundell's game, and now you look at where he is, a year after his draft year, how's everybody looking at Anton Lundell?
I think if you look at Ton's game, he's not a flashy player, but he's really highly productive. So something to be careful when you're valuing players, not get seduced by those sexy wow skills, because it doesn't always translate to the NHL. As you guys know, that's a big jump, and there's a lot of things that you can get away with in junior or in college hockey or a little bit in the American League that you will not get away with in the NHL. And Anton is so smart in terms of effectively managing the puck, where he moves it, and his puck support for a player of that age. I think that's an advanced attribute of his that I really appreciate. And I think he really understands how to protect the puck. He understands it's not the most fleet of foot, but that's actually going to improve as he gets into a man body from his core down through his thighs and that power. That's going to increase, so he's going to have a greater burst. But what he's really good at in his skating mechanics and his style, he actually understands how to change his speed. So what that does is creates time and space. So it'll pull defenders off. He understands how to slow up and how to kick into gear, and that makes a big difference. And when I look at his game, there's certain players that'll help you get to the playoffs. And there's certain players that help you win in the playoffs. And he's one of those players that helps you win in the playoffs. It's the style of play that he has and his mentality. A dog in the bone, willing to play in the tough areas, willing to go get pucks. Sometimes players don't like going into the dirty areas and getting pucks all the time. He's perfectly okay with that. And there's a part of his game, he actually enjoys matching up against the other team's top centers. Like, he likes that. He likes that challenge. A lot of the guys, centerman, I want to pop go to offense, and of course I'll do defense because I have to. He actually enjoys it. Like, it's a part of the game that he takes pride in. And when you have a player that at that age who likes to do that and who has a growth mindset, you look at him and go, okay, what's his upside on the defensive side of the game? And I know that doesn't sound very sexy for the listeners, but in terms of his value, when you have a guy like Sacha Barkov ahead of him, and he can mentor under Barkov, and then along with their player development staff and their coaching staff, be able to help him increase in that area, it just makes him a much more valuable player. I think it was such a value pick in terms of his versatility and the style of game he plays that I spoke to Bill about it on our show. We both, like myself and Pat Malloy, did player development when he was on the show with me. We both like those attributes of Anton. And for us, it was just a matter of him getting that man strength in him to increase that power for his skating. And when that happens, you'll start to see all the other things really fall into place for him. I think he's going to be a really fine pro and a coach's dream as a player. Like, I kind of look at, that's a guy Bob Gainey would want as a player, right? If you look at a guy who loves those two-way players, the throwback of the Russians in the 70s and 80s, where their centermen could play everywhere, all over the ice, that solid two-way, 200-foot game that we like to call it. So I have a lot of pride, a lot of praise, and a lot of time for Anton Lundell.
And Shane, obviously you mentioned, Panthers general manager Bill Zito, your interview with him on your show here recently. I know you talked about Anton Lundell, like you said, but what were some other topics you covered? What did you pick up from Bill in that conversation?
Well, I've talked to Bill many times, obviously with his time with Columbus when he was assistant general manager. And, you know, in the conversations that I've had with Bill, I always find him very thoughtful. He has clearly he has a growth mindset. So I like talking to him because you can have conversations with him about, you know, how do you measure performance and trying to keep up in terms of innovation in hockey operations, you know, discussing, you know, topics like risk assessment and risk analysis and root cause analysis and game theory. Or I think, and it's, you know, like there's a lot of buzz obviously with analytics lately, but understanding that data isn't just analytics. When people hear the word data, Bill and I, you know, you could talk to him understanding that there's quantitative and qualitative data and they're different, and how you use them could be, you know, benefit to your organization. And quantitative, you know, is it continuous interval ratio? The qualitative, is it ordinal, you know, with meaningful order? So I find Bill more progressive in terms of what, like, we talk about the old school and the new school, and I, you know, that sometimes gets muddied, but I appreciate Bill's willingness to think about different things and, you know, consider using them moving forward, taking best practices from other industries and implementing them in. So he's not afraid to try things, and if they fail, that's okay, because you can always use something for it. So I think from that standpoint, those are the things that I like having conversations with Bill about, because even more so sometimes than the players themselves, because it's about process, understanding the process that he tries to go through. Of course, he's not going to give you all the state secrets, but I think he provides you, you know, provides enough information that you can have a meaningful conversation from that standpoint. So, you know, and he's very deliberate about what he says. And he's fair and reasoned. You know, he doesn't take, if you don't always 100% agree with him on where his players are, what his players are, he doesn't take it personally. He's interested in what you think, and you have the discussion. So that's why, like, I enjoy having him on the show.
And I know he pushed all the right buttons in his first season here. We're looking forward to season two under Panthers general manager Bill Zito. But this is the last one for me, and I had to ask looking at the Twitter bio, because I'm really interested. Obviously, we do a lot of gaming over here at our FLA Panthers gaming Twitch account. We play a lot of NHL gaming. It says here you're involved in the player ratings for NHL 21. Before we get deeper into that, just what's the background there?
Actually, I'm the individual that does all the player ratings for the NHL players, the American Hockey League players, and the CHL players for the NHL video game franchise. I'm the only person that does it.
So you're also in charge of the updates throughout the season as well?
Yes. I'm the only person that does over 3,000 players every year for the game. I don't do the European players because that's just too much of my plate. We have other people in Europe to do that. But I have been solely responsible for that since the 2007 edition of the video game. So it's been 15 years. Yeah, it's run by very quickly.
And obviously, when these come out every year, these are major headlines when the ratings come out every year.
Do you enjoy that every year when it comes out and you have a guy maybe has an 83 and everyone's upset he's not an 84, just really little things like that?
I hear it from my producer. I'm very fortunate. Gurn, my producer, does a great job of insulating me from that. I'm perfectly okay with it. And I've had actual players contact me, out of curiosity, how do you build these rating systems? So I've actually sat down and at the rink, and actually showed them how it's built and comes together and what it means. So I don't take it personally, because it's a labor to get those things done and effectively. My job is to make sure that the player is as close to reality as he possibly can a year in advance, and then 2 years in advance. And then once you get three, the variables start to change, and it's like far more difficult to forecast. But it's really about making sure when you play the game, will this player be what the ratings I gave him? Will he be that at the end of that year? Is that as close to reality as you can? My goal is always to be within 90% accuracy rate. I always put my level high for what my expectations are, because you got to try to make it as, you know, as accurate as possible for the gamers, because I know you guys love it and how much it really means to you. And I played it when I was a kid. So I always keep that in mind when I'm putting things together, and I try to be as fair and reasonable in that as possible. And I don't get caught up in the hype, or like if somebody goes on a run in the playoffs, like it's such a small sample size, it has an effect, but it doesn't radically change everything.
And I got to, that's just so exciting. I don't think anyone would ever fathom that just one person handles so much. I just got to ask, how many man hours go into this each and every year?
Quite a bit, although my processes are far more efficient than they've ever been. So I've gone through a few, like as I probably mentioned pre our interview, I've gone through a few degrees in university. So I've learned to increase my efficiency through my processes. So I found ways of taking best business practices to reduce the amount of time it takes. But in the beginning, I was fortunate. I only did one league, and then they add the American League, then they add the CHL. But once I got to that point, I actually built my own personal performance management system to manage myself, so I didn't consistently make the same mistakes over again. And I tried to find where my biases were, because everybody has them. Mm-hmm. Like they're no losing. Everybody has biases. So I just try not to have reoccurring mistakes and try to learn from my mistakes, because that's where your greatest growth potential is. So I treat it no different than if I'm a scout for an NHL team. So if I'm a director of pro scouting and a director of amateur scouting slammed into one, and I travel. So I go see all the players live. I go to Europe and see tournaments. I see, you know, the NHL games, the American League. And so I'll be in Europe on average a couple times a year to go see players and go to tournaments and just get as many live views in. And then I obviously use video, and I, you know, watch as much as video as I possibly can and try to be efficient. I use obviously certain level of analytics and statistics involved in that as well. So I dive deep into that and try to find indicators of performance and, you know, potential moving forward. So there's a lot of pieces involved. I get into the psychological side and the physical side of understanding the player the best I can. And I talked to a lot of player development staff. So I try to treat myself no different than an NHL staff member, because I have to.
I got to say, honestly, this is exciting. I never would have thought. And like you said, you've been doing it for a long time. So I owe you a big thanks, because one of my favorite times of the year is when those ratings come out and seeing where guys are and then seeing where they are at the midway point. So that's just awesome. That's incredible.
I've been teased a few times by players. So Eddie Lack has poked fun at me a few times. So, and honestly, all the players are great about it. I've been in the locker room, and I've had a couple tough guys that come up to me and say, "Hey, you know, my kid likes to play me." And go, and I know I'm not the greatest skater, but can you bump me up a little? I'm like, don't worry, I'll take care of you. Or, you know, like remember when Patrick Thorsen got hit in the junk and it broke his cup, and then he came back and played. So I called my co-host at the time, Russ Cohen. He's based out of Philly. And I said, "Hey, when you see Patrick after the game, tell him I'm bumping his toughness up by 5 points, because anybody can get hit in the junk and come back and play, you're tough in my mind." So like I try to have a little bit of fun with it too, from that standpoint, and not make it entirely serious. But I tried my very best to be as accurate as I possibly can and have that reflect real life, because I think not only do the players deserve that, but more importantly, the gamers and the fans of the NHL franchise deserve that as well.
Well, Shane, it's all incredibly fascinating, and I think we could probably spend
this might be another episode
probably spend
one day.
5 hours talking to you. We're gonna make a reservation to have you back on the show at some point in the future. But the last thing, as I know, this is a real busy season for you that's kicking into high gear with the draft coming up. For the folks who tune in on SiriusXM, what do you have coming up? Where can the folks find you and tune in?
Well, we're actually, this weekend, we're going to do part two of our part three of our draft preview. So we're doing 6 hours of draft preview. Mm. This week, we are going to review the top 32 picks of HockeyProspect.com's overall list. So if you're a draftnik and you're really interested in the draft, I highly recommend to go to HockeyProspect.com and purchase their black book. Of all the independent scouting departments in there, I don't even think it's even close. HockeyProspect.com and their black book is the best by a country mile. Like, they're so far ahead of everybody else. And it's the reason why actually Brad Allen, who's their head scout, is now my co-host on the show. And this is his second season. because I respect that the work they do. They work extremely hard. They're very diligent, and I treat them as the 33rd team in the NHL. We don't always agree, but I understand their methodology and how they do their work. So for the draft nicks out there, I highly recommend going to hockeyprospect.com, buy their black book. I just actually downloaded it today to look over it. So whenever they wake up from their slumber, the first calls I'm going to give is to Brad and to Mark Edwards and talk to them about how things came together.
Shane Malloy here with us. Shane has a book called The Art of Scouting. You can hear him on Hockey Prospect Radio, just doing great work everywhere he is. And Shane, we thank you so much for stopping by today. We really appreciate the insight, the information, just outstanding stuff. And we thank you very much for being on the show.
It was my pleasure, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Huge thanks, Shane Malloy, for stopping by the program today. You can find him on Twitter, at Shane Malloy. Again, he has a book called The Art of Scouting, Hockey Prospect Radio on SiriusXM. He does the player ratings, as we covered there, for the EA Sports NHL games. So we'll get into talking about that here in just a moment. I know we both have some thoughts on the conversation. Territory Talk is always presented by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. And, well, just unbelievable insight and information, and huge thanks again to Shane for his time. Great guy, does a great job, and he does a great job with lots of different things. I mean, we covered so many different angles of player evaluation during that conversation, Jameson, from his preparation, his own preparation for the draft, and the draft shows that that he's got coming up, but also in talking about his background a little bit and doing the player ratings for the video games.
Yeah, no, he lives and breathes all this stuff, and he's just did such a great job of articulating so many of his thoughts and theories on these things and how he does things. So I learned a lot. That whole time I was just sitting there with my eyes wide open, like, wow, I'm learning a lot during this interview, whether it was about the actual scouting or, the EA Sports ratings. And nice to hear a couple names he dropped there for the Panthers. Sorry the connection got crackly a couple times, but, go back. You can make him out there. And we'll talk about all these guys more and more for the next couple weeks until we do get to the draft itself, but it kind of gave us a draft strategy now, watching those three picks before the Panthers. I wasn't thinking about that. I now
very good point you made.
Makes a lot of sense there. So maybe, those guys all do swing for the fences and the Panthers get a really steady player at 23. So going to be a lot to watch, but it definitely kind of gives us a little game plan now in terms of how we're going to watch the draft, a little game within the game there. So really insightful there. Nice to hear, his conversation with Bill Zito, what he took out of that. We pick up a lot of the same things when we've talked to Bill in the past. Just so articulate, so insightful. Just really thinks outside the box, and so far, of course, that's really worked here for the Panthers, and it's why things look so promising here right now, is the work Bill Zito and his staff have done and are continuing to do. But speaking of ratings, I didn't know any of that stuff about how the ratings work for NHL.
He's the man.
I really thought it was a group of people, or maybe they I really don't know what I thought, but I didn't think it was a guy like him that really has such an intense spreadsheet and database.
He said he treats himself like an NHL scouting.
Yeah, I really didn't know that. So it's so funny to think because it really is my favorite time of the year when it comes out and picking a guy, Mackenzie Weegar is like an 82, and you're like, man, Weegs really should have been an 83. And it's like, this guy puts in so much work into getting to that 82, and it makes perfect sense, and it's all there for the right reasons. But, me sitting on the couch, I'm like, maybe give him that one other point. And that's how everyone does it. I mean, those are, one of the biggest conversation starters of, the hockey calendar, I think, is when those ratings come out and every fan base comes out and says, their guy was robbed, or, man, I'm so glad to see this guy's rating, or, man, yeah, this guy really did deserve a bump here. I see that. So I would really love to, get him back on here, down the road to talk more about those ratings, because I know all of our guys really care about it. This past year, I think it was Hubie was a 91, and Barkey was a 90. I think that was the top two on the team. That's, of course, among the tops in the entire league. But really fun to see how that dynamic might shift this year. Of course, Barkey, leading the team in goals, winning the Selke. But then you have Hubie leading the team in scoring once again. But does Barkey overtake him this year as the top-rated guy on the team? It's going to be interesting to see. But one thing we did talk about with Shane once we wrapped up that interview is we also learned, we didn't get this on the podcast itself, but we learned that how the ratings are done is basically, if a guy is a 91 and he's listed as a playmaker, you can't compare him to a guy that's an 89 and a two-way player. basically they're all ranked within kind of that new system there. You know, the two-way players are ranked up against the two-way players, playmakers are ranked against playmakers, snipers versus snipers, things like that, which I learned a lot, because a lot of times I'd see a guy in that game who was, you know, a 92 sniper, and a two-way player was, you know, an 89. I'm like, but that other guy's so much better. Like, oh no, it's only because they're weighing him as a sniper against other snipers. So, learned a lot, and I'm really excited to see the ratings when they come out this year, and now I know if we, you know, want to complain or want to fight for one of our guys and think they deserve a bump, we know who to call.
Get Shane on the phone.
Get Shane on the phone.
Yeah, it was just a great conversation there, and what he said, too, about Anton Lundell. Great things to say about Anton Lundell, and said specifically he's the kind of player that you win with, and he really admired his ability on the defensive side and how he craves those challenges to match up against the other team's best players and what it could mean for him down the road to, you know, kind of have a guy like Barkov to be able to observe and learn from, and for Barkov to be there to take some of the they can share some of the responsibility. It was really a eye-opening in terms of what to expect from Lundell's overall game.
Yeah, and obviously the offensive numbers were definitely there for Lundell this year, both internationally, you know, winning all those medals at the World Juniors and the World Championships, and of course had a great season in Liga. But he said, you know, he hammered home once again there that the general consensus on Anton is that he's productive, he can do so many things, but he still isn't flashy. Which you don't need a guy to be flashy to win. You don't need a guy to be flashy to put up points. But I feel like that's a great kind of carrot to dangle in front of a young kid like that, you know, to make him maybe try those crazy plays or push him a little bit more. Because it's not even a dig. It's just, you know, the guy doesn't, you know, make a highlight reel play, but he'll get you a goal. And I think something like that to, you know, put in front of a 20-year-old kid, I think that's going to make him, you know, push himself that much even harder to be able to make those crazy plays, to beat those guys one-on-one, you know, to get on SportsCenter. So I kind of like that assessment sticking, and I kind of hope it does stick for a while and kind of drives Anton to, you know, become, you know, take that even next step once he does get to the NHL.
And one of the last things, though, that he did say about Anton Lundell is he described him as every coach's dream, which the way he plays the game with the fundamentals and playing both ends of the ice, I'd imagine that's going to be a fair assessment too going down the road, a guy that every team is going to want to have, a player like Anton Lundell.
Yeah, and that leads us into kind of our final bit of information on this week's show. Like we said, we'll be talking a lot about the draft, you know, for your next couple of weeks here until we actually get to the draft. And of course, then we'll have post-draft episodes. We'll get some guys on here, some prospects, some draftees. We'll have sound from, you know, Bill Zito and all those guys at the draft. So a lot of good stuff coming up here on Territory Talk. But you mentioned a coach's dream, and that oddly enough ties into the one kind of big news we had in Pantherland recently, was the Panthers hiring Tuomo Ruutu as an assistant coach here in South Florida. And he was actually Anton Lundell's assistant coach.
Yep.
During his time at the World Juniors and during a couple other international tournaments. So he knows Anton very well, so I'm sure they're going to have a great relationship coming in here. And also, former teammate of Alexander Barkov's on a couple international teams with Finland, including the Olympics. So Ruutu should be a great addition to the staff, still a young guy, been working in player development with the Rangers for a couple seasons. So he's been a player, he's been a coach, he's worked in player development. Now he's coming here, a young guy with a bright future. I'm excited to see, you know, where that goes. I really like that move.
Yeah, I liked it too. A guy who's had a great career and has seen the game, as you mentioned, Jameson, from a lot of different perspectives. Had a nice career as a player, certainly. So it'll be fun to have him come to town.
And of course, you look at the success that Anton had under him in those international tournaments. Clearly a guy that knows, you know, the buttons to push for Anton coming over here. So it'd be interesting to see what that does for him during his rookie season.
Yeah, not that far removed from his playing career either. So, you know, a guy that
like
brings...
Like I said, Barkey's still a young guy, and he played with Barkey, yeah.
Exactly. So, Tuomo Ruutu, congratulations on the new
position.
Look
forward to meeting
him.
Yeah.
Look forward to having him here in town and being able to meet him. And, well, that's going to be it for us on this installment of Territory Talk. We thank you very much for being on board with us. Huge thanks, Shane Malloy, for stopping by the show today. Great conversation. I'm sure we're going to have him back on Territory Talk at some point in the future. So again, big thanks, Shane Malloy, for stopping by. Big thanks to all of you for once again making Territory Talk a part of your listening week. New material from us each and every Wednesday, so be on the lookout for that. For Jameson Olive, I'm Doug Plagans. This has been Territory Talk. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers. For all your Panthers news and information, follow FLA Panthers on Twitter.